Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Jeffrey Pilgrim is here to begin another chapter of Office Wife.
Well, things seem to be quieting down a little this last week, ever since Marcia's birthday. That was a difficult day, if you like. I completely forgot to give her a present, but as it happened, I bought some earrings for Stella. If you remember, by some really splendid work, my secretary had saved me from just about getting the sack. And the idea of the earrings was to show my appreciation. But just as Marcia and I were sitting down to dinner with her uncle Tressida Bendigo, people started asking what I'd given Marcia for her birthday. You can imagine how I felt, having forgotten it entirely. And then I suddenly remembered Stella's earrings. So, of course, I trotted them out and said many happy returns. Marcia will never know they were meant for Stella. And she seems to be getting over her jealousy. Benny Puller's deal is coming along perfectly. So I've really very little to complain of, have I? Yes?
Come up to my office, will you, Jeff?
Yes, right away, Mr. Fleming. Stella, put any calls for me through to Mr. Fleming's office, will you, please? I'm off to see the wizard.
Yes, Jeff.
Oh, hello, Jeff. Where are you up to? I was just going to stick my head in your door.
Well, what's the trouble, Harry? I'm on my way to the chief. Well,
nothing, actually. I just had a few minutes to waste. By the way, did you get those earrings for La Bronson?
Yes, but I didn't give them to her. Look, old boy, I'd better not keep Fleming waiting. I'll see you later.
Right,
then. Oh, hello, Harry. Jeff's just this minute gone up to see Mr. Fleming.
Yes, I know. I passed him in the corridor. Listen, Angel, tell me something, will you?
What?
You know when you saved Jeff from being beheaded over that Bates-Hemingway affair when he muffed the, whatever it was?
Well, what about it?
Well, he told me he was going to get you something for being a good girl. A mink coat or some earrings or a toffee apple or something. Did he come to light?
No, he didn't. But tell me, how do you come to know all this?
Well, the dear fellow came to me to ask if he was doing the right thing.
This is the first I've heard of it. But why the sudden interest?
Because I happen to know he bought the things for you. But that's all.
Well, maybe he's waiting for St. Valentine's Day or something. I don't care, really. I don't want presents for doing Jeff a good turn.
No, my dear, but the trouble with you is that you haven't the proper conspiratorial attitude. I hoped he had given you something so that I could drop a word in Marcia's shrill pink ear. You know, to fan the fires of jealousy and all that.
I'm still not interested, Harry. I've told you once, and I'll tell you again, the only way I want to make Marcia Pilgrim jealous is by making her realize that I can take her husband from her any time I like. But don't. See? Now do clear off. I've work to do.
You're not having a change of heart, are you?
What's that supposed to mean?
I should hate it if you suddenly decided to tell Jeff Pilgrim what I've told you.
Oh, don't talk like a goat, Harry. I'm no Joan of Arc, but I'm no talebearer either. You needn't worry.
Good. Oh, come to dinner tonight?
No. No thanks, Harry. Not tonight. Some other time, perhaps.
All right, then. Be seeing you. Now, if Jeff did buy the earrings and didn't give them to Stella, what became of them?
Now then, Jeff. I've been talking to Mr. Bendigo, and we're both delighted with the way you're handling Benny Puller. We're going to net just on $40,000 from the first 6 months of his contract, and Puller is so pleased that he's talking about increasing his appropriation yearly as time goes on. Ah, you've done splendidly, my boy.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, you know this firm. I brought the matter up to begin with, and Mr. Bendigo agreed most heartily. What we're doing is this. we're giving you an interim bonus that works out at about 1%. I've had a cheque drawn in your favour for £410. Now, here you are, and see that you don't give it all to your bookmaker, eh?
Well, hang it, Mr. Fleming, I don't know what to say.
Oh, that's all right, Jeff. I've always said the labourer was worthy of his hire. You've earned that bonus.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Oh, quite all right, quite all right. By the way, when are you coming to dinner with us again? Mrs. Fleming was asking after you only the other day.
Whenever you say, sir. I'd be delighted.
I'll let you know then. How's Marcia?
Oh, she's very well.
Good, but look here. I heard a whisper or two a few weeks back. I won't tell you where, about a slight friction arising through your secretary. It's all blown over, I hope?
Oh, completely. There was nothing in it, anyway.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. Pays to be on the safe side, Jeff. I remember when I was a younger man. Well, that's all over now, but if anything of the sort crops up again, if you're in trouble, be sure you come straight to me.
Yeah, that's very kind of you, sir.
Oh, not at all. I'm a man who believes in giving a younger chap the benefit of my experience. Now, off you go, and if you don't want to mention that bonus around the office, you needn't either. One or two of the others might be wanting one too, eh? Oh, we'd soon have no profit left if everyone wanted a slice, eh?
I'll bear that in mind, sir.
All right, then. Well, that's all for now.
Well, I've just had an idea, sir. This check's burning a hole in my pocket, and I'd like very much to run out for an hour or two this afternoon. My office is fairly quiet at the moment.
Oh, by all means, by all means. You're your own master in that sort of thing. Take the whole afternoon, if you like.
Good. I might even do that. Stella, what do you know about fur coats?
I know they're too expensive for poor but honest working girls to do anything but look at.
Oh? What about that lovely gray squirrel of yours?
Oh, that? Oh, well, between you and me, I have a little money of my own. Why? Are we going into the fur business?
Not exactly. What sort of a coat could I buy for £400?
Well, you could get a pretty good ermine for that.
Really good?
I should think so. If you shopped around a little.
I see. Now, stand up.
What?
Yes, go on. That's it. Turn around. Yes, I think so.
What is this, Mr. Pilgrim, sir? You offering me for sale or something?
No, but you can be my personal mannequin for the afternoon. You and Marcia are much of a size. So, Miss Bronson, get your hat.
Ooh, we're going out.
Correct. We're going to buy an ermine coat.
Hello, Mr. Pilgrim's secretary speaking. Oh, it's Mrs. Pilgrim, Jeff. Here, can you reach her?
Oh, thanks. Hello, Marcia.
Oh, listen, Jeff. I'm just getting some stuff ready for the dry cleaner now. It'll be here soon. Is there anything of yours you want done?
Oh, there's the grey chalk stripe. That could do with a wash and polish. You know the one I mean? I haven't worn it for a week or so.
Yes, I know, darling. Anything else?
No, that's all. Hey, be careful to empty the pockets, pet.
All right. Leave it to me. Bye-bye, darling.
Bye-bye. Well, ready, Stella? All booted and spurred?
With the face on. Let's go.
Well, Stella, what do you think?
It's out of this one and the one at Benson's, isn't it?
Yes, but I can't make up my mind. Come along, help me decide.
I say this one.
But what about the style? Are those big full sleeves going to look tizzy in a year's time?
These in ermine. Oh, really, Jeff. The huge turn-back cuffs are most definitely right. Perfect, in fact.
Oh.
And the other coat isn't quite so full in the back. I like this fullness.
Yeah. What about the length?
Oh, well, if we go back to short skirts, you can always have it shortened, can't you?
Yes, I suppose so. You think I should print it?
I think so.
Right. I'll take this coat, thanks. Oh, here's my card. I'll give you a check now. You can have the coat delivered to my business address as soon as the check clears. Is that satisfactory?
Quite satisfactory, Mr. Pilgrim.
Oh, right. Oh, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. It's a lovely coat.
Yes. Well, come along, Stella. I'll buy you a drink for being a good mannequin.
Oh, Jeff, look. Isn't that the tall, thin woman who was at your party the other night?
Huh? Where?
Looking at the Arctic Fox, over there in the far corner.
Oh, good Lord, so it is. Angela Tennant. Hang it, I want this coat to be a surprise for Marcia. And Angie will spread it around wider than the BBC. Hey, let's clear off before she sees us.
She hasn't seen us already, has she?
No, I'm practically certain. Come on, quick. Hi, Marcia. Where are you, Peddle? Marcia, where are you? Not home, apparently. The lights are on. Hey, Marcia!
I'm in here.
Why didn't you sing out, darling?
Is it of any importance?
Hello, what's this? I say, Pet, you've been crying. What's the matter?
Jeff, I'm not going to fly into a frenzy or anything. I just want a plain yes or no to a question. Have you been... Oh, what's the use? You wouldn't tell me the truth anyway.
Hey, move over. Let me sit down. Now, have I been what, Marcia? What is it this time?
Tell me quickly. What's going on between you and Stella?
What? What in the world makes you ask such a fantastic question as that?
This card, in your own writing, Jeff. See what it says? To Stella, in appreciation of an evening well spent. To Stella, to Stella, to Stella. What does it mean? Tell me.
Somehow, Marcia found the card I was going to put in the box with Stella's earrings. The ones I gave her for her birthday instead. Oh, good Lord, how in Hades am I going to explain this away? How could I have been such a monumental fool? And what the devil am I going to say? The truth will look worse than it does already. Oh, what am I going to say?
We invite you to listen again to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.